Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 42 through 48. The Reverend Robert Zagor is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Hear the word of the Lord from Acts chapter 10. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are all witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely, no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We've all been witnesses to a calamitous time in our history. It seems as though, if anything, we're going to point to the end of the age. What we're experiencing now does. Riots in the streets of major cities, not only even in the United States, but all around the world. A virus which is causing the shutdown of everything, villainy, hatred, scandal, scorn. These are trying days. These are harsh and horrible days. And it seems like as we think we're starting to get used to the new normal becomes a little bit worse, and it scares us. It causes us to fear. It causes us to wonder how any of this is going to end. And today, Peter, from 2,000 years ago, preaches the good news to us that it comes to end as the love of Christ makes its way to each and every heart, and only that way. I'm not going to begin to say that I have the worldly answers for the social calamities that we see going on around us, but I do know what they mean in the long run. They mean that God is drawing near to his people. And when you see Jerusalem surrounded by evil men, lift up your eyes, your salvation is drawing near. Peter talked about this in our Acts reading today. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to his people, and it ends with him saying that everybody was shocked that even the Gentiles were receiving the Holy Spirit. Do we really think that there's an answer to the riots that have been going on since I was a child? I remember sitting out on the front stoop of my house in Cleveland, Ohio, watching the riots about a quarter mile away, burning down the housing projects just outside of my street. This has been going on a long time, but it's been going on far longer than that, because there was antagonism between the Gentiles and the Jews, between the Greeks and the Jews, between just about everybody on the face of the earth and everybody on the face of the earth, going back to Cain and Abel, or for that matter, going back to Adam and Eve, who said, "The woman you gave me, she gave me some fruit of the tree and I ate it," knowing that the penalty for that was death. If Adam could have gotten her to die instead of him, he would have been happy with the outcome. Sin has destroyed everything, and we're just seeing what happens as it gets poured out in its ferocity upon us. We sometimes live in idle fantasies that this isn't true, or this isn't really happening among us, or somehow or another we've achieved a stasis where you don't have to worry about these things. But, of course, the veil that covers our sin is very slight when it's only an earthly veil. The veil of law and order is only very slight, and we've seen this throughout our lifetimes, and we will continue to see it until the Lord returns. Many of you may remember there was a power outage in New York that caused great rioting in the streets and great looting. And I guarantee you that the one common denominator that we've seen through everything in our lifetimes and before is that sin will manifest itself in human interactions. We need something bigger than law and order. We need something bigger than just a demonstration of power to stop it. In fact, those demonstrations of power which the world gives sometimes become the very means by which these evils are protracted. There's a very famous study done by some folks at Stanford University where two groups of volunteers were divided up, and one was classified as prisoners and the other as prison guards. These were just volunteers, ordinary people, not people who had done anything wrong, not people who had actually been convicted of a crime. They were just part of a psychological experiment at a university, and the prison guards, within 2 days, started treating the prisoners with such hatred and contempt and such fierce violence that they had to suspend the study because it was deemed dangerous. Even among those who are given the authority to enforce the law, sin can bear an ugly weight. Which is why, to everyone, we need to preach the gospel and the forgiveness of sins. We need to preach the gospel and the forgiveness of sins everywhere, because it's our only hope as we face these things. We're witnesses of everything that Jesus did among the Jews and in Jerusalem, and yet they killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses God had already chosen. And as we take that by analogy to our day, it's us. The church in these days has a profound and vitally important purpose to proclaim Jesus into the midst of the hatred, into the midst of the scorn, into the midst of the anger, into the midst of the fear that all of these things are causing. Because He alone is our peace. He alone is our hope. He alone is our Redeemer. He alone has faced death and overcome it. He alone commanded us to preach to the people and testify that He is the one that God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. That's a quote from our reading. But listen to the next verse. "And all the prophets testify about Him, that everyone who believes in Him receives the forgiveness of sins in His name." You want to know what's going to unite us? It isn't learning to understand our common heritage or even our common humanity. It's learning to love the fact that Jesus, the Savior of the world, has died for us, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are redeemed by His blood and His great gift, that the Holy Spirit would work on our hearts and open them up to everyone so that we can truly love and truly understand. And just as in Peter's day, when the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, we may be shocked at the response that happens when the church does her real job of proclaiming that gospel. Because proclaiming His Word, teaching His Word, has changed billions of lives over thousands of years, and it's not going to stop now. It is what we need. It's our only hope. And it's also the only tool that the church has. It's important for us to understand, because there are many calling for us to do this or do that or do this or do that as the church. But the church has only one tool, but it's extraordinarily powerful. It is the most powerful force on the face of the earth. It can transform lives. It can fix families. It can put lives back together. It can give hope and peace and joy in the midst of sorrow and travail. It can save you from death. The forgiveness of sins won by Christ. The resurrection of the body given by His sacrifice and resurrection. And the wisdom which proceeds from the Word of God as mediated by the Holy Spirit. Now we pray. The Lord will hear our prayers, not because we deserve to be heard or because we're exemplars of all that's good in this world. No, we're sinners just as everybody else is. He'll hear the prayers for the sake of Jesus, who loved the world and gave Himself up for her. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. God loves all of those, whether they're people with bricks in their hands or masks on their faces or lying in a hospital bed or tending the injured or wounded or cleaning up the mess after their store has been broken into. They need Jesus. And we, His church, more than ever, need to be about our business, proclaiming Him alone whose mercies can attend us and save us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the Reverend Stephen and Maggie Oliver, who serve the Lord in Taiwan. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.